Take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy. Title of our lesson tonight is called Study. How many of you enjoy studying? I mean, this is just something that you just really enjoy doing. I see no hands. Oh, Rudy's going to go up. Always fascinates me that my brother Jim was able to earn his doctorate later in life, because I know how hard it is to study. And, you know, as you grow older, but do you think you should study the Word of God?
Yes.
Now, we are going to say yes to that, right? Because none of you dare say, no, I don't think I need to study the Word of God. I already know everything I need to know. No, we all know we need to study. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, is warning him to stand firm in the faith. Can I ask you a question? Do you need to be warned to stand firm in the faith? We all need to be it, right? We all need to be warned. So if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. We're going to look at a number of verses. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I believe it's important that we have a sound mind. If you would, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Paul is talking to Timothy and warning him, and he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, warning him to stand strong. Chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ do what? Depart from iniquity. What's another word for iniquity? Sin, trespasses. This is an encouragement to him. You think to yourself, how in the world did he have anything to worry about when it came to sin? He didn't have television or the internet or Facebook. Was there sin back then? Absolutely. And where's the number one thing where we sin? In our mind. In our mind. Chapter 3, verse 1. We know this. We probably all could quote it. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. Are we in the last days right now? I don't know. I guarantee you those who are going through World War I, that they could be in the last days. And those that went through World War II may have thought the same thing. Especially since after World War II, Israel came to have their own land. But we find that perilous times are coming. Lawrence O. Richards comments about this verse. This passage, with others, silences the optimistic view of some that the gospel message is destined to convert the majority of mankind and usher in an era of peace before Jesus returns. In contrast, Paul sees an increase in evil with moral and social conditions trending from bad to worse. The Christian's challenge is not to usher in universal peace, but to remain true to God in troubled times and aggressively promote the saving gospel of Christ despite corruption within the church and persecution without, unquote. Chapter 3, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Do you see that in today's world? We have lots of religion in our society today, but we deny the one who is the creator God. We deny the one who says that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto me. But we find in chapter 4 now these thoughts, verses 1 through 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. What does Peter say about a lion? Yes, the devil goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The title of tonight's thoughts, study, if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to once again come and to sing the songs of praise, to have a time of prayer, Lord, to look into your holy word, to draw encouragement and strength from its thoughts. Lord, help us to stand firm. Help us not to be ashamed. Lord, may we love thy word. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3 now, verses 12 through 17. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You need to remember that in the early church, persecution was rampant. Paul had played havoc, or actually he was Saul then, had played havoc with the early church. And down through the years, we have seen persecution almost continuous throughout the world's history of persecution of believers. Verse 13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, throughly furnished unto all good works. Scripture is adequate to protect us from false teaching and strengthen us for a time of persecution. There are men and women in our society today that are being persecuted for their faith openly. Certain countries like Nigeria, where Christians are being hunted down even and butchered. We find that there are other countries that are on a watch list because of their persecution of believers. One of the men that we sat with at one of the dinners there at the Grand Hotel was a missionary in Morocco. And he was arrested, he and his wife, and told, "You will leave." They did not want the teaching of the Christian faith there in Morocco. You know, we find that we think that everybody in the world has the ability to come to church on a Sunday night and enjoy the songs of the faith and a sermon from the Word of God. But in many cases, they are hiding as they do this. And they have to be so very careful. Scriptures are profitable. When you make an investment, you want it to be profitable, right? That's the desire. They are profitable for doctrine. What is right? For reproof, what is not right? For correction, how to get it right? for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. You know, we want to be right with the Lord. When we stand before Him, we want Him to be able to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But He cannot do that if we are not right with the Word of God. May I say this? God is not interested in our happiness, but in our holiness. God is not interested in how much we have, but on how much we give. God's desire is that we serve Him faithfully. Specifically, the Word of God is used for teaching or the giving of instruction. Rebuking, a word associated with convicting of sin or error. Correcting, a restoring to an upright or original condition. And training, rearing a child by training and guiding him how to live. So the question is, do you desire to be wise or foolish? Now, that's an easy one, isn't it? Do we not all desire to be wise? But are all wise in the eyes of the Lord? There are three kinds of fools mentioned in the Bible. The first one, the agnostic. Psalm 14:1 and 53:1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." Now, you think to yourself, did that really happen way back then? And the word is yes. Yes. "But the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." How many sit in our services and go through the motions of worshiping the Lord, even here at the Covenant Baptist Church, but in their heart and soul act as if there is no God? Sadly, even though Psalm 19:1 clearly states, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork," how many ignore the teachings of God's word and live their lives according to their own desires and wants? Would you say there is a battle going on within each and every one of us to do what's right in the eyes of God and do what we want to do? There is a battle that goes on. There is a struggle. It's continuous. Ecclesiastes 2:14 says, "The fool walketh in darkness." When we got to Mackinac City Wednesday, and the desire, of course, is to take the ferry across to the island, and probably most of you at one time or another has taken that ferry, we could not see but the very it's from Mackinac City to the island. And it was very foggy. Now, on Friday when we returned, there was no fog, and they said it would take 20 minutes to get from the island to the mainland. So they didn't slow down. So what makes it so that boat that we're on can go basically full speed to the island? Well, they have radar. Number one, radar. Number two, what were they doing? I put my wife on the spot. I should have included her in. I was going to do this. What were they playing? The foghorn. Over and over again, they would have the foghorn go. Why were they doing that? To warn anybody that was out there in the fog, we're coming through. Would you say that our world is in fog? They're blinded by the evil one. And what are we to be? Well, we're to be that foghorn. We're to be the lighthouse. We're to declare that God is and that He has a way of salvation for sinful man. W.T. McLean writes, "Any man who does not believe there is a God, who turns his back upon the conclusive evidence of creation, is a heathen." And he is described in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." There are those who think they know so much, but when they deny the word of God, they show themselves to be fools. But what do they call us? Fools, ignorant, unlearned. but the heavens declare the glory of God. Solomon said, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. So there is the agnostic fool. Then there is the materialistic fool, if you would, the book of Luke chapter 12. And we're going to be going to Luke chapter 12 and also chapter 16. We read in both of these of a rich man. Some have concluded that they are the same rich man. We cannot say that they are or are not. But if you would, Luke chapter 12, we begin reading at verse 16. You probably have a heading for this that says the parable of the rich fool. Do you have that in your Bible? And it says in verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and of my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, the Lord blesses people like this man. Was it wrong that he had been successful? No. But what was his problem? It was simply this. He thought he was the one responsible for it. He was not giving God the credit. Notice what God says in verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The materialistic fool. Chapter 16, just over a couple of pages, and we'll begin reading at verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now, can I tell you this, that if we ate breakfast like we did on Thursday and Friday at the Grand Hotel, I'd put on about 70 pounds. I had steak for breakfast both days. I had an omelet both days for breakfast. I had bacon. Are you getting hungry? I tell you what, it was good. The meal on Thursday night was an excellent meal. You know, we are very fortunate to live in the United States of America where food is in abundance. It's amazing. But this man who wore purple socks, okay, and he had fine linen and he fared sumptuous. Verse 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. Now, let me ask you this. We know the rich man's going to hell because you know the story, right? Did he go to hell because he was rich? And did the beggar go to Abraham's bosom because he was poor? No. No. If you have money, thank God. If you are considered rich, thank God twice. You should be very glad for what the Lord has provided. Verse 21. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. But it doesn't stop there, does it? Notice, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, plural. See, I believe that when one goes to hell, there are many things that are going to come against them. There's going to be loneliness. There's going to be utter darkness. There's going to be pain and discomfort. And there's going to be memory. People are going to remember the opportunities they had to come to the Lord. And it is a place of torment. Back in chapter 12, if you would, please notice verse 17. Again, the rich fool. Notice what it says. And he thought within himself. He saw only his bulging barns, thinking to take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. For thou hast much goods laid up for many years. He only thought about himself. And I believe that's one of our problems in our world today, especially in the United States, is we think only about ourselves. But folks, we have a whole generation of people coming up we need to think about. And those that are coming after that need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. This man is like the one Paul refers to in Ephesians 2:12, where he says, without God and without hope. Mark it down. When we don't have God, we don't have hope. I said a while back, there are worse things than dying. And one of them is not knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. Jesus referred to this man in Luke 12, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be? You ever wondered what's going to happen to your possessions when you pass off the scene? Some of the people were talking about it there at the servants' retreat and what their children will have to do with their stuff. Two or three times I asked my mother, I said, what are you going to do with your stuff? Are you going to start cleaning it out? And she goes, no, Paul, you're going to take care of it. Yeah. But what's going to be left of your stuff? 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. The materialistic fool. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, we find the church of Laodicea. And the Lord brought against them an accusation that they thought they were rich and in need of what? Nothing. Were they rich and in need of nothing? Well, they may have been rich in man's eyes, but in the eyes of God, they were not. Which brings us to the third fool mentioned in the Word of God. Fools for Christ's sake. Fools for Christ's sake. 1 Corinthians 4:10 says, we are fools for Christ's sake. Does God think of us as a fool? Or does the world think of us as a fool? Now you ponder that statement. There are those who don't want to be considered a fool in today's world, by the world. But we should be more concerned, does the Lord think we're a fool? To be counted a fool by the world because we trust Christ as our Savior is to be the right kind of a fool. Now, you may have family members that think you're nuts to go to church on a Sunday night. You may have family members that think you're nuts to give an offering and a tithe to the church. But if the Lord thinks you're correct in doing so, we should follow that advice. A Salvation Army lassie was sarcastically told by a scoffer, you are a fool. To which she replied, yes, sir, I am a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? The fact of the matter is there are many today who are fools, who do not follow the teachings of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Quickly, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll begin reading at verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. In conclusion, back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Folks, I don't want to be a fool in the eyes of God. I don't want him to say, thou fool. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise. Study. Study the word of God. Read it. You know, we have the daily devotionals. You know, read through them. There's two different styles. I personally enjoy the days of praise and we find that they give us encouragement. But study the word of God. Because ladies and gentlemen, children, we want to be wise in the eyes of the Lord.